Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
Mailbag Monday on a Monday. We haven't done that in a while. Mailbag Monday on a Monday. Do y'all think these journeyman players for the Astros playing well are just lucky? Or Dana knowing how to spot exactly what they need? Or both?
I think it's both. I think it's like the ideal combo platter coming to fruition with every move going your way. Do I think that every one of these guys were guys that he was banking on or thought could contribute? No, but I think that they are. And more times than not, I trust Dana's ability to evaluate talent. I mean, with a lot of the pitchers that he saw something in.
I think every decent general manager puts together organizational depth, and it's like, okay, well, if these injuries happen, this would be our option to play third base, second base, center field. And I think he does a good job of identifying these depth pieces that can help. They're not, like, tragic. They don't come up and they're like, oh, my goodness, how is this guy on the field? They give you some attribute. Like, Trammell can't hit. Okay, but he can go out and make a four-star diving catch. Zach Short's actually more known for his defense than his offense. So it's like, okay, you get a glove for a shortstop that, if you had to play in a pinch, isn't going to kill you defensively. Maybe he can, you know, send one into the gap every now and then. So it's just having a good feel of, like, guys who wouldn't kill you if they get called up. So I think it's a little bit of both. And then plus, like, I mean, the Astros are kind of rolling right now. So, like, hitting's contagious, momentum's contagious. So, like, that comes into play as well. How about the New Orleans Saints? How do you think they will do this year?
Who's playing quarterback for them again?
Probably Taylor Shuck.
Yeah, Shuck. Yeah.
Taylor or Tyler?
I thought it was Tyler.
Well, I mean, I was kind of sarcastic in the fact that I don't think most people know, and if they're going to start a rookie, and either that or what was the kid from Oklahoma that transferred to South Carolina?
Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, I don't think, as long as those guys are vying for the starting quarterback position, I don't think Saints are going to be great.
I don't know if you've heard this tidbit, Joel. I think Jeremy probably would know it, but Shuck, Tyler, Taylor, whoever the hell is, what his name is.
Look it up, it's Tyler.
Tyler. He was Justin Herbert's backup at Oregon. That's how old this guy is.
I saw him play in college.
I'm sure he did. He was there for 7 years.
He was at Tech when we played him at NRG.
Wow.
I think we played him at NRG. I think yeah, TDECU was already built. I think it was one of those, like, showcase games at the start of a year. We played Tech before we were in the Big 12 at NRG, and Tyler Shuck was the starting quarterback.
So this is kind of like Chris Winkie, where you're getting a rookie that's actually 20-something?
He's 25. Like,
Chris Winkie with
that. Yeah, he was. Winkie was older, so was who was the other? Whedon. Whedon's a little bit older, but still.
Brandon Whedon, yeah.
He came into the NFL in a rocking chair.
Yeah. I think Whedon and Winkie were both 28.
Remember, about 27 for Winkie.
But remember Drew Henson?
I do.
Yeah, from Michigan.
Houston Texan.
Yeah. Had the battle with Brady at Michigan, and the Texans drafted, I think, fifth round, and then flipped him to the Cowboys.
I think that's right. What do you guys think about Mexico beating USA?
I watched it.
And I'm Mexico.
I did too.
I mean, they scored the first goal, what, 4 minutes in?
And then they went into, they tried to park the bus in the 25th minute. They got called, they tried to park the bus and got called for a time-wasting warning in the 25th minute.
What are you doing?
What are we doing here? We're trying to send it on a 1-0 lead? I was actually encouraged with their performance. I know that I didn't love the tactics of just parking the bus in the 25th minute. But Mexico's second goal came on, like, a little bit of controversy. I think ultimately they did get it right. I don't think it was offside. But it wasn't called a goal originally. There could have been a handball on Mexico that would have led to a PK. Like, that was kind of questionable. And then the Americans were doing this with a lot of their starters not playing. So, like, would have liked the result, win the Gold Cup. Yay! Especially in home soil right down the road. But it does give me some promise about the World Cup. It really does. I think, and look, what are my expectations of the U.S. men's national team in the World Cup? For me, it's just getting to the knockout stage. Get out of that. Like, so I don't have
that's
these.
That's what it's been for.
I don't
so
have
long,
these
though.
Major expectations of the, you know, U.S. men's soccer. But I'm encouraged and I have confidence that we're going to get to the knockout stage in our own World Cup, baby.
Yeah, I'm I'm a noob at soccer. Glenn always kills me for this because I just don't follow soccer like that. But that's what I had questions about in terms of when you think of Pulisic and other guys that might be joining this team down the road, are they going to be that much better that no matter what they showed against a formidable veteran team like Mexico, can they be better? And the other thing was I didn't like the fact that, one, the haze was annoying as hell. And I hope that they're not planning to do that kind of stuff for World Cup unless they have a way to figure out how to get the haze away from hanging there in a closed arena setting or stadium setting. But then they got dragged. They were getting dragged for the turf.
The turf was ugly. It was bad.
Yeah.
Now, it'll be a different turf when World Cup comes around, yeah.
But how's it going to be better?
Well, they're going to make a lot of renovations. Apparently, they also have to take out some seats before the World Cup gets there to make the corners bigger. But apparently, they're going to put in a new turf, like, literally just for the World Cup and then take it right back out.
Yeah, it's going
to
be like the pallet system.
Like a whole new, and then it's rip it up and it's gone. Right,
what I was going to say is, aside from like the pallets, which are pieced together like a puzzle, this is supposed to be like a tray. It's just supposed to be the one long tray of grass. They grow outside and then they just slide it into the stadium.
Junior says it was funny to listen to the announcers crap on NRG the whole time. They need to tear that place down. They don't need to tear it down yet. Should it be hosting World Cup matches? Eh, they don't need to tear it down though.
Good, you having a little party?
They said though that the noise level and the environment for those that went to the game said it was unbelievably loud and passionate.
NRG does have good acoustics. It does get loud in that building. It just echoes and bounces off of that roof. Black pepper on cantaloupe. I've never tried that.
Ooh, no way.
I mean, I would try anything once. I put black pepper and turmeric together, so I try.
I like black pepper. I like cantaloupe. I don't like the thought of putting them together.
Why not try it?
I mean, I didn't say I wouldn't try it. I just don't like the thought of what it would taste like.
So you tried black pepper on cantaloupe, but not salt on watermelon.
I just said I would try salt on watermelon as well.
Try it tonight. You got some in your fridge.
I do.
Will you try tonight?
Maybe.
I got to make him think it's his own idea. Hey, don't
try. It's not my own idea.
Don't try.
You don't have to make me do anything. I already said the first three times I would try it.
First psychology.
It just doesn't sound like I would like it.
It's like we have to do with Brandon, baby. It's got to be his idea. Like, don't come here. Okay. He comes running in. Come here. Goes running the other direction. Key from LA, how many push-ups can you guys do?
Can't tell you the last time I tried push-ups.
I don't know.
I think I can hit 17 right now.
That's a random number.
Well, I do push-ups every now and then. Like, if I don't have like a gym place, I'll go just do like some push-ups, try getting a little chest workout. You know, like once a year, like not often.
I just do the gym workout. I don't do push-ups.
Yeah, I can do, I think, probably 17. You can probably
work out.
You can probably hit about 28.
Maybe.
Brian, probably about 2.8.
I can hit 10.
Yards per carry?
I don't think you can hit 10.
I can hit 10.
You can also get to the batter's box from left field in 2 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you can get 5 yards behind an offensive line.
That was said mostly in jest.
Let's do it on the camera right now.
What?
Do you get to determine if they're good push-ups or not? Because you know there are cheater push-ups.
Yeah.
The camera wouldn't pick it up.
Well, we'll film it. I'll put it on TikTok. Live. We'll go live on TikTok.
Not today.
Not today. You got to eat a lighter lunch?
You got to get some training for
it? No, I did some yard work, pulled some weeds, and back's not great.
Look at that flex. He's got a yard where he has to pull weeds. Does Blank hate?
It's not a flex.
Does Blank hate peanut butter and his chocolate?
No, it's awesome. Peanut butter and chocolate go together great.
Have you seen the new Reese's peanut butter cups where they have jelly in them? Grape and strawberry jelly? Uh-uh. I saw a commercial about it the other day and was intrigued.
Huh. I've seen they put other things in peanut butter. Like there's one with pretzels. I think there's one with like Reese's Pieces inside of it as well.
I saw a commercial. The peanut butter cup, they're doing like a limited edition, special edition. I don't know how often they're going to have this or how long they're going to have this. But they're putting grape jelly and strawberry jelly. I mean, not together.
Right.
They're going to have one grape, one strawberry one. I'm intrigued. I would try it.
I'll try it.
I don't know that I like the chocolate with the sweet of the jelly. I don't know if the chocolate makes that taste better.
I see what you're saying. Because like peanut butter and jelly is really good.
Yes. And peanut butter and chocolate is really good.
The chocolate thrown in there. I agree that that's kind of curious. Brian can't do 5 push-ups, says a texter. BMAC cannot do 10 push-ups, says another texter.
Sounds like we're going to have to try this at some point.
The peanut butter and jelly, the grape one is sneaky good. It seems like it'd be good to me.
Now, do you like this when they have the assorted chocolates, when you get like the fruit chocolate?
You talking about like the cherries in them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I don't. I think that the chocolate actually takes away from the taste of the cherry and vice versa. That's why I'm a little concerned about that.
Tried both strawberry and grape jelly with the kids at a taste test. Not the best. Almost too sweet. Mm. Kids didn't like it either. See, I could see that with the chocolate. Mm-hmm. It almost enhances it too much. I could see that. It's like a chocolate-covered strawberries to somebody else. That does sound pretty good, though. I like chocolate-covered strawberries. All right. That does it for Mailbag Monday on a Monday. Mandatory Texans. Pro Football Focus has the Texans offensive line ranked where? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
The Killer Bees do a great job most of the time.
Crush it, literal mic drop.
But sometimes they need a little help to make sure they're talking about the right topics. That, well, make the most money.
This is how you're going to make the money.
That's why it's time for the... Wait, Joe, are you forcing them?
Just tell them to talk football.
Okay, okay. Jeez, you're the boss. Here's the Killer Bees corporate-mandated football segment.
Rack and Pete, you guys need to have a push-up contest for your next summer stop at Pleasure Pier. This Friday, we'll be out at Pleasure Pier inside of Sweet Scoops from noon until 6. Find the entire Summer Circuit at ESPN975.com. Summer Circuit continues this week. They're all over town. Each week you can register to win our grand prize of the summer, a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. $4,000 value for registration. Stop by the promo table at the broadcast. I like to do my reads during this segment, kind of milk the clock a little bit.
As a silent, not-so-silent protest?
Not-so-silent protest. Yeah. Defiant Branham a little bit. Joe Espada was asked if he thinks that Jeremy Payne will play before the All-Star break. Espada said, quote, I'm not going to answer that.
He's getting smarter.
He is getting smarter. It's a good idea. I love the non-sports talk segments. Thank you, Texter. Branham calling it a gym place lets us know he can't do 17 push-ups. Let's talk about, like, in a hotel. Like, I know it's a gym, but it's not really a gym.
It still wouldn't be a gym place. It'd be a fitness center.
First of all, it's not a fitness center if it's a room with, like, a universal setup and,
well, I'm
like
just
a
saying
bike.
That's what they would call it.
I think I can hit 17. I'm going to do it during the next break. I'm going to do it during the next break.
You're limbering up. Stretching?
I got to stretch, man. If I'm going to hit 17, I need to stretch.
I mean, you
the
are
pecs.
40 now.
Are you rapid fire or are you slow as you go? Steady as you go?
I think I'm probably more on the, I don't know. Probably norm. That's what I call normal. I'm a workout guy. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Less football, more food combos that blank hates. Well, we don't really talk a whole lot of football in July. That's why Joe's making us talk football in July. And today, Pro Football Focus came out with their offensive line rankings in the NFL. You know who they have dead last? They have the Houston Texans dead last.
Go Texas.
It's warm.
I saw, and DJ Bieniemy, who's always been our guy that's been almost hyper-positive on the offensive line in years past, doesn't seem to be too high on them, because then when he read some of the comments, he was like, well, if you think they're better than 32nd, how high? Because he evidently doesn't have the same kind of confidence. And I know he was kind of on the side of Tunsil through everything that happened. I just have a hard time believing, with as much as I trust the football minds in that building, the fact that they seem to have gotten the right guy in Popovich, the fact that you have a new system with a new OC, and that they went out and got a whole bunch of new linemen, I just don't think they're going to be last in the league. You might say, well, maybe they're not going to be top half of the league. Okay, that's a possibility. But that's a huge difference between midway point and dead last. I think of other teams. I think of Carolina. I think of a lot of teams where I look at them and I go, I'm not sure if their offensive line is very good. To think that it would be a hard pill for me to swallow with everything that they did or didn't do with their offensive line, they're going to be 32nd.
You're really going on a limb there.
What are you talking about?
That they're not going to be dead last.
Well, okay, but I'm saying...
Hot take.
Well, but we've talked about this before. I do think that they're going to be top 20-ish. I think that there's a possibility of them being towards the 15 to 20 in that pocket range. I don't think they're going to be dead last, and I don't think they're going to be in the bottom five.
Our rank got worse for every false Tunsil, I mean false start. Is Pop the right guy or just the next guy up? I mean, it's going to be on D'Amico. Like, D'Amico is going out on a limb, sincerely this time, to like, hey, we're going to promote the assistant offensive line coach after they had a dreadful offensive line. It's a pretty bold move, in fact, for D'Amico Ryans. Let's see how it plays out. Now, he did work, of course, with Kaylee back in the New England days, so that comes into play. Look, I'm actually...
What's this, the O-line genius coach that they had? Dominic Scarvoni
in the winter. Yeah. I don't know how to say his name.
Scarnecchia.
That's it. Yeah, Scarnecchia on the neck. I don't think the Texans are going to be dead last either. Hot take. But I'm almost happy that they are dead last because, one, it, like, kind of sets up the expectations. Cool. Secondly, it also, like, you know, these linemen aren't going to love seeing that. Like, does it fire them up a little bit? Maybe, maybe not. But if they're, like, 22nd, would that matter? Like, this doesn't matter. It's not, like, it's some random list on the internet. Like, Titus Howard, whenever he was doing some of the press stuff, is like, oh, we see how bad they're talking about us. So, like, does that get them to, like, you know, work a little harder? Maybe it does. I would also question the professionalism if they're relying on a list. But I almost like the fact that they're dead last because, like, the only place to go from here is up. Also, like, I'm sick and tired talking about the offensive line. I'm so sick. Like, how many ways can you talk about this offensive line before they put pads on? Like, they fired the old guy. They brought in a new guy. You have a new offensive coordinator. You traded Tunsil. You brought in some, like, you know, free agents that have been journeymen that are tough and, like, nasty. Like, how many ways can we continue talking about the offensive line? I'm ready for pads. Put on pads. Let's see what it looks like. The whole, like, hey, the offensive line this, offensive line that, it's become nauseating on July 7th.
It has, but it was the number one glaring problem that needed to be addressed at the end of last year. And the fact that they didn't address it the way a lot of people wanted them to has led to more questions than answers.
How would you have wanted them to address it?
I'm not saying me personally, but I hear a lot of people saying that, you know, they should have spent more draft picks on it. They should have gone out in free agency, and they should have been big spenders to try and rebuild the offensive line.
Didn't they sign, like, the second-best tackle in free agency?
I'm just saying that this is why a lot of people are still focused on the offensive line, because their solution was, like, the big swing. Big swings. And instead, the Texans went about it a different way, but they still did add a ton of new faces and depth and versatility and some draft picks to try and make this line better. It's just that I think that a lot of people expected, like, these big, grandiose swings, and instead they've got, you know, kind of handpicking what they want to do to fit their system. We'll see how it works out.
Yeah, I'm just curious what grand, grandiose swing would have been. Like, we've went through the offensive linemen that were available, and, like, they signed the second-best tackle that was available in free agency.
Maybe the criticism, though, was tackle of the places that needed addressing on the offensive line was probably bottom toward, at least compared to guard and center. Like, guard and center were the bigger issue last year, the bigger issue in the offseason, and the one place they did spend money was tackle.
But the fact that you got Cam Robinson as opposed to the fact that if everybody was looking at the offensive line at the end of last year, the last guy they thought was walking out the door was Laremy Tunsil, that they were going to get better, like you said, center and guard, but at least they had Laremy Tunsil. At least they had a top five left tackle in Laremy Tunsil. And so the fact that on top of everybody having higher expectations, and then you trade him away and you get rid of three-fifths of your offensive line, and what you replace him with, people don't really know the names, I think that's all part of it.
I have no problem getting rid of three-fifths of a bad offensive line. Like, I understand that Tunsil's your most decorated player, most talented player, but, like, you had a bad offensive line and then you took away from a bad offensive line, I think is plus. I think that's a good idea.
Like, I personally have hope that this line's going to be significantly better. Obviously, I said that. I think that, you know, if they could be in the top 20 or even higher than 20, I think that would show huge progress. But I think that I trust in these guys to pick the kind of guys that they want to run the system and the scheme that they want to run. And it seemed like everything was dysfunctional, the stuff we don't know about in the room and with the line itself and the continuity and all the things that they're now feeling that they have to publicize, that they're a together conducive unit now. Okay, all those things are fine. I trust that they're going to do the right talent evaluation, bring in the right kind of guys, and I think they're going to be better because of that, if nothing else.
I think we're going to learn how incompetent the 2024 Houston Texans offense was. I really do. Like, you hear these
football is football.
There you go. Like, you hear these X's and O's guys, like, just mock Bobby Slowik. Oh, like, he had no clue what he was doing, especially with offensive line protections.
Remember the thing that came out during the Lions game where Za'Darius Smith had just shown up, I think, the week before? Mm-hmm. He wasn't even playing. He got traded from the Browns.
Oh, yeah.
And he figured out their protections calls, and I think Collinsworth even broke it down during the game, but basically they would have a word with L to move to shift left, a word with an R to shift right, and teams would load up, get him to shift, and then send the blitz the opposite direction. And it was that easy for him.
And he was even showing the DNs the move to make just to beat the tackles off the line. And yeah, he was picking them apart.
He was there for 1 week, and he's like, oh, this is it. Here's what you do.
I think we're going to look back and be like, man, 2024 had some incompetent people running that offense.
The other thing about this list, now, I don't share the optimism they'll be top 20, but the thing about this list that ranking that kind of caught my eye was the fact that they're listing losing Shaq Mason as a negative. It kind of comes off as a casual take if you think losing the 2024 version of Shaq Mason as a negative.
You're right. Like putting him in the same pod as Laremy Tunsil is ridiculous.
He was a negative to them last year. That's not a problem losing him.
Now let's entertain the thought that the Houston Texans have the worst offensive line in the NFL. Let's say Pro Football Focus is right. The Houston Texans' worst offensive line in the NFL next year. What's their record?
Well, you better have a hell of an offensive coordinator then to try and get around that and still be successful. I don't think it can be.
I mean, they were 10-7 with bottom three last year.
I don't think it's a 10-win team. I think you're
I don't think it's a huge difference, though.
I think you're lucky. I'd say 9-8. I think you'd be lucky to just get to a winning record if they're that bad.
Yeah, I still think they get to 10 wins with the worst offensive line in the NFL.
I kind of do, too. I would say minimum 9-8, because they did the same thing last year.
They did. CJ's going to need to do a better job of getting rid of the ball sooner as well. You're right. That's 100% true. Did Slowick get a job anywhere else? He got some like assistant job with Miami with McDaniel.
Passing game
coordinator. Yeah, I think that's what it is, passing game coordinator. Yeah. So Slowick was incompetent in 23, clown emoji. I don't think he was figured out yet. And then once the NFL figures you out, other teams go to the well until the well runs dry or until you fix it. And I don't think Slowick could ever fix it. So once Slowick was exposed early in the year, might have been Minnesota. What week did they play Minnesota?
Three.
I think that to me is when it was like, uh-oh. Like,
that was a butt kicking.
And then that's whenever you started to see a lot of the stunts and stuff like that. That was really effective. And then every team started doing it because the NFL is a copycat league. So that would be my response to that. How was he a genius in 23 and competent in 24? Same thing. Got a question. Regardless if you throw the ball on first down and don't get any yards, do you throw it on all three downs primarily? It depends on the team.
Depends on the personnel, too.
Personnel, team, coordinator, their tendencies, stuff like that. 9-8 and bottom five O-line means what for Nick? Nothing. Nick Casario's fine at 9-8.
Yeah. Nick and D'Amico are like, fine. But D'Amico's going
to
take more heat.
Like, what would it take for them to be on the hot seat?
In part, that the offense is terrible and the offensive line is near the bottom, if not last in the league.
I don't know if he means Kaylee or Casario. Like, who are you talking about?
I think Casario's fine. I thought he was referring to Casario, and I think Casario's safe.
Me too.
I think Kaylee and D'Amico and all parties involved, including Popovich, are all getting real toasty on their seats if this offensive line is bad and this offense doesn't succeed. And because D'Amico, as the head coach, made the change and got to handpick who he wanted in both cases. And if the line craps the bed and the OC isn't great, that's all on D'Amico.
I think it would take a 5-12 and a healthy season for Casario to be on the hot seat. Because 5-12 healthy is different than 5-12 and a plague of injuries.
Yes, but what did Casario do? Because he can't predict the injuries. And it seems like the draft picks he's brought in and the moves that he's made are all players that have contributed. So I don't know how that's on Nick.
Well, I mean, everybody has a scapegoat.
And in this scenario, they wouldn't be contributing because if they're fully healthy in 5-12, they're not contributing. Those same guys he picked.
Yeah. I just think that when you think about even the rookie class last year and the guys that he's brought in that have all performed really well for this team, I don't know that in one season Nick could turn around and be on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. Now, I do think that in years past, remember when he didn't have answers for the offensive line and the injuries and or Kenyon Green going down and all the different things that he could have been prepared for that he wasn't, and then the offensive line falters. That's one thing, because they didn't have depth.
I mean, I think you're underestimating how quickly things happen in sports. I mean, Kubiak was 12-4 and 12 and then was fired the next year. Like, Kubiak went 10-6 playoffs, 12-4 playoffs, back-to-back AFC South champions, first time in Texans history, and then was fired in 13.
But I think it's different from a coach to a general manager.
I think it's easier to fire the general manager.
Okay.
Disagreeing?
I disagree simply because of the fact that if it's the coach that's making these decisions on coaches and the system that you're going
to
run.
Think about who we're talking about here. You think it's easier for Cal and Hannah McNair to fire D'Amico Ryans than Nick Casario?
Well, there's outlying things, too, that factor into that as well.
So is the answer yes or no?
I think it's probably easier to fire Casario, yes.
Yeah,
right now.
I would agree with that. What about you, Brian?
Not even close.
Yeah, not that I think either one would be on the hot seat. Like, it would take a really, really bad season for one of them to be on the hot seat, not fired. 713-780-ESPN. Is he a guardian or a
guard who played with LeBron James on a Cavaliers finals team?
Interesting. All right, that's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
28 push-ups, baby. 28 push-ups. Now, you might need to drive me home. I'm out of breath.
I work out.
Did good.
Yeah, you sound
might need
like
to drive me home. Yeah, the heart rate's up. I haven't done 28 push-ups maybe in my entire life. That might be the most I've ever done.
Michelle, but when you do, you said you do push-ups.
Yeah, but I usually, but I do like
sets.
Yeah, I usually, and I do normal, I do wide, and I do close. Okay. So like I go through like a superset type of deal. Okay. I didn't think I could get to 28.
You got to 17 and you put the pedal down.
I was trying to get to 30 and I went down after the 28th one. I was like, I can't get back up. I went to maximum. So Brian, whenever you want to do your 10.
Yeah, not today.
Because you pulled weeds. You know, whenever you look up chest workouts, I always see pull weeds near the top.
No, it's my back. It's not my chest.
Is it lower back or upper back?
I'm not saying it's a badge of honor. Like, it's an embarrassing way to hurt your back, but it happened.
All right.
Is it lower back or upper back?
Lower.
Because that shouldn't bother you in push-ups, because upper back is your shoulder blades where your arms are.
Sitting.
You got to do some cat poses to help your lower back. Or like the ones where you keep your legs out, like straight out, sitting down. And then you bring your leg over the other and stretch your back.
Yeah, I found some things online that are supposed to work, but mixed results so far.
I can tell you what to try. You're not going to want to try it.
Tell me.
The thing that works the best for me on lower back is those big exercise balls.
Lay
on it backwards. Lay on it backwards and go back as far as you can go against the wall so you can brace yourself, and it will spread out your spine, and it will be a huge relief.
Okay. I'm shocked you got to 28. Well, why? Why are you so shocked about that, Texter?
Athlete.
Why? I'm an athlete. I hit 400 in high school. All right, is he a guardian or a guard who played basketball with LeBron?
Yeah, on an NBA Finals team. There's an added caveat there, as if I couldn't make it any more complicated.
How many finals did they go to get in Cleveland?
Two.
Four?
Five. He went to five with the Cavs.
One, two. I don't remember.
They didn't win two with the Cavs. They won one with the Cavs.
Question one or?
How many? I asked how many you went to.
Five okay, with the five. Cavs.
I thought it was four. Okay.
He didn't go to all five finals with the Cavs, did he?
Well, he's been to more than five finals.
Yeah, with Miami and the Lakers.
He went once in 2007, and then when he came back, they went four straight years. Beat the Warriors once, lost them the other three times.
Okay, I don't remember that.
Before. I mean, yeah, I mean, right. Google it. I could be wrong. I don't think I am because I looked it up this morning for the purposes of this. But all right, number one, Joel first. Is he a guardian or a guard who played with LeBron James on an NBA Finals Cavs team? First up, Cade Smith, C-A-D-E, Joel first.
Cade Smith to me is a guardian.
Yeah, I think he's a guardian too. Sounds like a relief pitcher.
That is exactly correct. He is a relief pitcher for the current Cleveland Guardians.
There's not many Cades who play in the NBA other than Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, that was a struggle for this to find names that could be believable for either sport. But anyway, number two. Joe Harris, Jeremy first.
I'm going to go with a basketball player.
I'm going to go basketball player as well. I believe he went to Virginia.
That's actually, yes, he did go to Virginia, and he was on the 2015 Cavaliers team.
Sounds like more like a power forward to me.
He was listed as a guard.
He was supposed to be a shooter.
Was he?
And he bounced around because he
couldn't shoot.
Yeah.
He was an undersized four.
Blame Basketball Reference if he's not actually a guard. Number three, tied 2-2, Gavin Williams. Joel first.
Guardian.
Yeah,
he's the guard. He's the starting pitcher.
One of them that doesn't bet on baseball.
Sorry?
Has that been resolved yet?
No. Oh, right,
guilty. I think he's guilty, though.
Apparently, they're going to keep him out to like the 18th or something like that while they're looking into it. Anyway, you guys are tied 3-3. Number four, Will Wilson.
Whose turn is it?
Mine.
Jeremy's, yeah. Will Wilson, you guys are tied 3-3.
You were eager to answer that.
I just asked a question. I'm sorry, whose turn is it?
Because of his eagerness, I'm going to say basketball.
Joel?
I'm going to say guardian.
He is a Guardian's third baseman.
Dang it, he fooled me with his eagerness.
He is a Guardian's third baseman. So Joel is up one after four. We've got 9 total if we want to go that far. Number 5, Joel first, K-A-Y, Felder.
I know it, see, your stump, the stump is what concerns me here. Kay Felder, I'll say Cavalier.
Oh, man.
Jeremy?
I was going to go with that, too, but he was, I'm going to go Guardian, try to tie it up.
Joel is now up 2. Oh, he was a guard on the 2016 Cavaliers.
I thought that he was. I was going to say basketball. I didn't think that he was anything. I was going to say basketball, but
for gamesmanship.
Yeah.
All right. Number 6. Joel up 2. Jeremy, you go first here. Shannon Brown.
A basketball player.
Indeed.
Yeah, he was on the 2007 Cavaliers.
Was he a Celtic once upon a time?
State kid.
Yeah, but was he ever Celtic?
He was a Laker. He was a Laker. I don't know if he was ever a Celtic.
Oh, yeah. I do remember him as the Laker.
He could fly.
Isn't the guy who loses, like, is losing supposed to go first?
Oh, we can do that for the rest of these. Yeah, that's fine. I couldn't remember when
No, he was never a Celtic.
I couldn't remember when we kicked that in, like, what part of the game we kicked that in. If that was just for the last question or if it was the entire
How many am I up?
You're up 2.
How many are left?
3.
Yeah, you probably should do it now.
Yeah. All right. Fine. So, Jeremy, you will go. Wait, who's
Jeremy
behind
goes first? Jeremy goes first.
Okay.
I'm down. So first.
Okay, cool. All right. London Perrantes.
How do you spell that?
P-E-R-R-A-N-T-E-S. Perrantes.
Do you need to roll your R's there?
Maybe. I don't know. The pronunciation on the reference site did not show.
Hold on. He's supposed to be going first because he can play defense.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's,
however you want to do it.
Yeah, because if I answer, you're just going to
He's
going to
do the opposite.
Yeah, you got to go first.
He's a guardian.
Okay.
I'm going to go with basketball player.
Jeremy is correct. He was on the 2017 Cavaliers team.
I think he was trying
really?
To
Really?
Yeah, he was a guard on the 2017 team.
He was trying to give us a Latino
but
name.
But he never played.
Jeremy caught on to that.
Yeah.
Jeremy caught on. All right, so Joel, you're up 1-2 to go. Mm-hmm. A.J. Price.
Joel A.J. first. Price is a basketball player.
You sure?
No.
I'm going to go basketball. I'll go basketball, too.
That is correct. He was on the 2014 Cavaliers
Last
team.
Last chance. I'm going to say the opposite of what Joel says.
All right. Will Cherry.
Guardian.
So you're saying Cavalier?
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, it's just for a tie. But Will Cherry, 2014 Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Basketball player.
Tied
it up.
So you guys tie.
What? Where did he go to? Never heard of him.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of him either. I hadn't heard of him either.
Are you sure?
I know. I just know they wear cherry and white.
And wine?
White.
Oh.
Cherry and white. He went to Montana. He was a Grizz in Montana.
Never would have got.
He only played 1 year in the NBA.
Yeah, I never heard of him until.
He only played in 8 games ever in his life in the NBA. Will Cherry. He sounds like a baseball player.
He sounds like somebody that deserves this drop.
Who the f*** is that guy?
It doesn't sound like a baseball. It does sound like a baseball.
It does. I thought so, too.
All right, car wrecks of the day, 713-780-3776. Also, I want to remind you about the new ESPN Houston app. It is live. It is awesome. Download the new version on all phones. New app allows you to sign up and enter to win our giveaway. Hit the go button, and you will see the new features that will include immediate access to the text and call-in line, all of our social media platforms, and our YouTube channel. There's also a chat feature in the app that listeners can use to interact with each other and the shows. And the app is now available for Android and Google Play users. I'm going to catch my breath. Car wrecks of the day next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
No way there was a Perrantes in the NBA, LOL, says a texter. Twitch is saying, really enjoyed that game. Keep it up, guys. Love the great work. Car wrecks of the day, 713-780-ESPN. What are your car wrecks of the day?
I got a couple. The first one is the referees in the MLS game last night in Seattle. The goalie sustained a head injury they weren't aware of, but went down. It was late in the game, a 1-1 tie. I think it was almost an extra time. Both coaches were saying, he's in peril, he needs help, stop the game. And the referees weren't going to stop the game. And it finally took someone that was in upper management with the league to come in and say, stop the game.
There's a player that's about to die?
Goalie. Now, he has subsequently posted, don't know what happened. So thankful that everybody was sending well wishes and whatever. Still trying to figure it all out. But then they indicated that he had sustained a head injury at some point.
Oh, boy.
But, like, if both coaches are telling you, stop the game, there's only a couple minutes left, stop the game.
Yeah, that's messed up. He probably didn't realize what was going on.
I mean, yeah, at a certain point, if you just look like you're fine and you, like, go down, there's probably something going on that needs medical attention.
Yeah, it's probably, like, behind him and stuff. So, I understand, like, not seeing it or not recognizing the situation, but that stinks. That's good that they eventually stopped.
Maybe the ref gave him a standing eight and thought he was okay to continue.
Maybe. That's scary, though. I wonder if he was having a seizure.
I mean, either that or they might have missed something where he caught a ball or landed on his head.
Yeah, that's...
save. I don't know.
They say concussions happen more in soccer than in football, if you can believe that.
But watching that game yesterday with the amount of headers that guys were hitting, the speed of the ball at some points, I was like, I could understand that.
What was your second one?
Bobby, ESPN... R.I.P. Bobby Jenks, the closer for the Chicago White Sox in the 2005 World Series against the Astros, passed away. And ESPN reported it by saying, Bobby Jenks, a two-time All-Star pitcher who was on the roster for the White Sox when they won the World Series, passed away. Like, give the guy his props. I mean, he was the closer. He was a significant piece of that team. And that's the way you're going to post that on social media? I thought that was weak.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if you guys remember this moment because I try to forget most of that World Series, but there's a moment in what was otherwise pretty miserable where Ozzie Guillen called for Bobby Jenks, and instead of, you know, tapping the arm he normally would, he just did, like, wide and tall.
I don't remember that. That's good.
It was a pretty funny moment.
I remember that.
Yeah, he just did a motion for wide. Give me the wide guy.
Now, was he the closer in 25, or did he become the closer later?
No, he had the save in the first and the last game of this week.
He only had 6 saves that year.
Oh, in the regular season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know when he took it over, but he was definitely the closer in the World Series.
Yep.
He had 6 saves, and he had 41 and 40. I wonder if that's what led to the confusion, is that he wasn't quite like this stalwart closer yet. Although, if he was in the playoffs, then that's kind of a miss.
So they went back a day afterwards, and then pointed out that he had. And they showed the video that you just said, Brian, and said that he actually saved the opening game and the last game of the World Series.
There's only 4 of them, so it's half.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Carl Ravitch messes up again, this time Sunday Night Baseball. If you listen to the Killer Bees for any time, you know that Carl Ravitch, I think, is bad at calling a baseball game. Third out was just made, by the way. Out number 3, strike 3, third out.
Dead silence. Always good on TV.
Everybody's coming off the field, Tony. I thought that was the second strike, but apparently that was strike number 3 because both sides are in their dugouts. I'm looking at you.
Carl Ravitch lost track of the count.
Now, I don't want to defend Carl Ravitch.
Here we go. But you're going to have to do the Oral Hershiser.
I am.
I don't want to say the Astros are cheating, but they're cheating.
Full circle show.
I noticed when pulling this, but the graphic on ESPN said 3-1.
Yeah, so you're relying on the graphic, huh? That's not good.
Again, it's not a defense of him, but I can see how it can happen, is all I'm saying.
You shouldn't have been looking at the graphic.
Shouldn't be
relying on the old bug.
I think he had more than one last night.
Did he? I just saw people tweeting about it. And then the Savannah Bananas, they were on the ESPN primetime on July 4th. July 4th, Savannah Bananas are on primetime television on ESPN. Mm. And they wonder why Major League Baseball doesn't want ESPN in their lives anymore. You're showing Savannah Bananas on primetime on July 4th. And I'm not even an anti-Savannah Banana. Just not primetime July 4th.
Well, and then MLB gave free access to all the games on 4th of July on MLB Network.
Mm.
And then you got the Savannah Bananas. Did you see the base running last night? I thought of you. In the baseline?
Yes.
I thought it was a horrible call.
They called him out of the baseline.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
I know that Perez was trying to somehow find a way to defend Major League Baseball by saying, well, his right foot touched the grass on the other. I don't know how in the world that he was.
But that's
called
not
out.
That can't be the baseline up the first baseline is for baseline interference. That's not a baseline interference call. They're saying he left the baseline, which the runner establishes once a tag play is presented. They said he left the baseline.
He just went low and Superman.
His left hand is like on the chalk the entire time. Yeah. That was a brutal call. I couldn't believe it.
It was awful.
I was stunned. Now, they won the game like 15-1, so whatever. But, yeah, that was a brutal call. What do you got, Brian McDonald?
A couple of them. Actually, three. The Dodgers, just in general, for losing 29-5 or whatever it was over the weekend series with the Astros. Dodger fans for making excuses, especially Keith in L.A., who let us off blaming the pitching when the Astros were sending out their Lance McCullers and Ryan Gusto in 2025. And the last one is for all the boxing heads out there. Ricky Hatton, who hasn't boxed since 2012, it is now 47 years old, announced he's coming out of retirement and fighting to buy. I guess he needs another paycheck. But Ricky Hatton, what do you do fighting professionally
at age 47?
Sorry?
Who's he fighting? One of the Paul brothers?
No, it was, I forgot the name. It was somebody, it's somebody in Dubai. I actually can't even pronounce the name. It's, yeah, the first name is EISA. I don't know who it is.
SA?
I don't think it's SA.
Nope.
I don't think it's SA.
A texter.
Nope.
A texter earlier nominates the how few Americans there were at NRG Stadium last night for the final of the Gold Cup between the USA and Mexico.
I have heard the guessing at 80-90%.
Really?
Mexico fans.
Did you see the ones that had the like the double flag? Like it was kind of like Paul's Mariner Astro jersey.
No, I did not.
There was a few of the like whenever they would cut and show fans and stuff that had the flag that was USA and Mexico, like sewn together.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think a lot. I think there's people that would feel that the flag is disrespected when it's altered in any way.
Yeah.
But I mean, to each his own.
It's kind of
You're a Mexican American and you want to support
countries.
I am. No, I'm not saying
And I'm Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care about it either way.
It was interesting because usually, I mean, it's a bitter rivalry. They hate each other. The U.S. men's national team and the Mexican.
Yeah, the one announcer basically came right out and said it. I guess the next national team player that was doing the Fox telecast was like, I hate everything about losing to Mexico. And I hate the players and the coaches. And
it'd be like a half Dodger, half Astro hat. Like it's kind of weird. John mentioned Oral Hershiser. Yeah, he could be nominated. We mentioned him earlier in the show, but not for this. And then Josh, Dodger fans who are still complaining about the cheating scandal. It's been 8 years. All right, what's winning?
Keith in L.A.?
Yeah, sure. That's a good call.
Yeah.
Key or Keith?
I don't remember.
I think it's Key. Either. As he signs it himself, it's Key.
Key, you're the winner. Congrats. L.A. got themselves
a win.
They
want something. You want something after the weekend.
Does it for us. Thanks, Brian. He's Blank on Brad. I'm talking to you tomorrow. ESPN National right now.
Football is football.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Rebate in form of Visa gift card equal to 100% off the second eligible item purchased before or after applicable discounts, if any. See details. Offer ends 7/9.